than one particular thing. You can learn from a parable by separating it from the ones around it. But the best way to understand fully what he's trying to say is read the whole bundle. And then you'll get the gist of what he's saying to us in a more general or more specific way, the word he's wanting to communicate. You understand what I'm saying? So I know this was read, so let me read it to you again. This is in chapter 18, verse 1. After having said all these things to them that represented sort of a dark context, he says, now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city and a judge in that city who did not fear God. He did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying again and again, give me legal protection for my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God, nor do I respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming she wears me out. The word wears me out actually is a Greek phrase. It means hits me under the eye. I remember one time we were in a restaurant with a bunch of people. Hall's restaurant was here. And we were in line, and I was aggravating Livia, intentionally aggravating her. And there came to a point where she looked up at me, 3 feet lower, did her fist and said, you say one more word, I'm going to knock your block off. That's kind of the idea here. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. How shall not God bring about justice for his elect, who cry out to him day and night? I'm going to read you the way the word should be written. And though he hovers over us with unending passion, I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find the faith on the earth? Not just faith, but a particular kind of faith. And he also told the parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, like swindlers and the unjust and adulterers, or even like this tax gatherer. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't think it mattered what direction his eyes were pointed. He was obviously speaking into heaven. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted. And we add this. And they were bringing even their babies to him in order that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they began to rebuke him. But Jesus called for them, saying, permit the children to come to me, and stop hindering them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child shall not explore it at all. Now, most of the time when people look at the first parable, we're really going to talk about the parable of the unjust judge, the parable of the tax gatherer and the Pharisee kind of help us understand the parable of the unjust judge better. But usually when we read this or when people speak about this, they think that the main theme of the parable of the unjust judge is that we ought to pray at all times. But that's really not the major theme. The major theme of the unjust judge, that parable, is that we should believe at all times. And the part that prayer plays in that. Now, again, he's just given them some stories that painted sort of a dark picture circumstantially. One of the things he said in the middle of those sort of end time words was about what he was about to face, and therefore what they were about to face with Jesus going to the cross and their fear of persecution. Everything that they had put all the eggs in the basket seemed to be falling apart. And so Jesus was preparing them for that when he gives this parable. He says in verse 1, "Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and to not lose heart." The phrase, "to not lose heart." Now let me just stop this because we do this sometimes. How many of you know that words matter? Right? And how many of you know that one of the primary ways God speaks to us, not the only way, but one of the primary ways that God speaks to us is through words that are written on the pages of Scripture. Amen? Therefore, understanding what those words really mean matter in terms of understanding what God wants to say to us through the Scripture. Amen? There are several places in the New Testament where the phrase "to not lose heart" is used. But in every one of those places, it's just one word that's translated "to not lose heart." And the word is, literally should be translated, "don't enter into evil." It's the word "evil" with another word attached to it, so it becomes one word, "being in evil." When you look down in verse 8, and the parable's been explained, and it seems like what he's really just talking about here is don't lose heart in your praying. Just pray at all times. And just like this woman who couldn't get the unjust judge to answer, he finally answered because she was so tenacious. God, who's not unjust and who hovers over us with passion to move on our behalf, he will speedily answer if we come to him. So we think that's the primary story. No, the primary story is don't lose heart. Don't give up. But it's about not losing heart in terms of believing. In verse 8, he says, "I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes," this is how that parable ended, "will he find faith on the earth?" And the word there is, will he find the faith on the earth? Now, throughout this parable, he also uses the phrase or the term justice. And occasionally, one place I think he uses the word righteous. The word justice and the word righteous are the same words. And so what he's saying in this parable is that when God comes back, when Jesus comes back, he didn't say, will he find people praying? He doesn't say, will he find this or will he find that? What he's looking for and what the enemy wants to destroy, will he find the kind of faith that pulls on his justice and pulls on the manifestation of his righteousness? This is from Hebrews chapter 3. Because he talks about not losing heart, he ends up talking about finding the faith. So they have to be connected. The word "to not lose heart" means entering into evil. So the evil that he's talking about is an unbelieving heart. This is, again, Hebrews chapter 3. "Therefore," verse 7, "just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, Do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. But here are people that God dealt with and demonstrated his faithfulness. He demonstrated his righteousness. He demonstrated his justice on their behalf over and over again in miraculous ways. And yet again and again at the next test or the next trial, they would lose heart. As if they didn't know his ways. If you've walked with the Lord for more than a day, you do have a history about God's ways. Every one of you has a history concerning God's ways in your life. And God did what he did in your past because he's good. And he demonstrates his justice on behalf of the enemy, against the enemy in your life. But he also demonstrates his righteousness in your life, keeping you from the power of sin, causing you to experience things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, manifestations of righteousness that you never could produce before. You never could experience without him. And he did all those things because he loves you, but he also was intending to build a history in your life and in my life. So that as the lions and tigers and bears, oh my, become the Goliaths, we've learned his ways, and in our heart, we can trust him without losing heart. That he'll find the faith in us, that standing that pulls on his righteousness and justice. Because again, let me just read this a little bit more in the scripture. He says, verse 12, therefore, take